The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right. But it's, what it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Trying to break the half-century mark. They lead 47-13. Second and goal to go from the one. Johnson motions right to left. Poyer turns, gives to Taylor. Up the middle, touchdown JJ. Another for the second year back as the Patriots expand the lead.
That'll get you feeling good about yourself now. You know, work weeks have been somewhat stressful. You lose the attention to detail, how hard coach is on them. This will be a good week for him. Let him enjoy this.
54 points for the Patriots yesterday. 54-13, your final over the New York Jets.
Well, you got to be happy, huh?
Thrilled.
That's what you're waiting for on Friday.
Yep.
What you wanted to see.
And here it is.
Here it is.
You can have a good win against a bad team. You can.
That's what they had.
But that's what it's got to look like. You can also have bad wins against bad teams, which the Patriots have had two of, one of which was Houston. The other one, I would say, was the Jets in the first go-round.
Yeah.
I would say two of their first three wins.
Right.
The three wins they have, this is the best win they have. This one.
Yeah. It's the first game that they didn't play to their competition?
Yeah, I would say, and that works both ways. They've played up to their competition, too, against both Tampa Bay and against Dallas. But yesterday, in the 54 against the Jets, they buried them the way they should have buried them the first time. That's what I was saying after that game.
Yeah, you acted like a professional football team yesterday. I give them credit because I think that environment was flat yesterday. There was no buzz in that stadium, and that's what you got to worry about. And rightfully so, because that's how they have acted in those type of games. Down there in Houston, it was awful. Like, they came out flat. It's 22-9. Yesterday, warm-ups were kind of lackadaisical. Not for them, but for the Jets. And just kind of going through the motions, mulling around. And you just don't want those teams to catch you sleeping or let them hanging around. They did not do that yesterday. So credit to them. They came out firing on all cylinders. They were ready to go. Offensively, they looked really good. I thought the play calling was really good in this game. Defensively, they got some issues at number two corner. They need to figure that out because it's going to get ugly when you face some of the really good teams like this one that they're going to face this week coming up from a personnel standpoint on the perimeter. Jalen Mills is struggling. That's the one big thing I take out of yesterday from a negative standpoint. But other than that, it's a good win. It's a good win. That's what you're supposed to do to bad teams.
They played good players yesterday. They went up against good receivers yesterday.
No question.
So it's not like that was a bad group. They played good wideouts. We talked about it before the game, though, you and I. I said, would you trade the Patriots receivers right now for the Jets receivers? And you said yes.
Yes.
You didn't even hesitate.
No.
So it's not like they played bums.
No.
They played real guys yesterday.
No, and the touchdown catch, I mean, it's right there. It's right there to be defended.
And
it's a backup quarterback throwing it. No offense.
Let me give you one more. For anyone who's going to say that they did it against a backup quarterback, when Mike White was in the game, their offense had a smoother operation than it did with Zach Wilson. They got better on offense with Mike White, which is a bit of an indictment of Zach Wilson at this stage of the game. But they looked like they had settled down a little bit with Mike White in the game. Now, granted, that guy has the advantage of having not gotten his ass kicked for the first four games. They had a bye already, so he's not been in there getting just beat down for four games.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's fresh as lettuce, this guy.
Well,
Zach Wilson was in the game, every single offensive snap, including on that first series where they went 3-and-out, looked like a fire drill, where Zach Wilson just snaps the ball, They run around and they look for something.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Circus drill. Circus drill. Basically, and this is what happens when your backup comes in a game and it's not expected. You take your play sheet, you basically fold it in half, and you shrink everything down, and you go basic. And that's probably why he looked the way he did, threw for over 200 yards. But I thought he did the best that he could, but that's not going to happen every week. Now you prepare for him and, you know, say he's going to be the guy moving forward here for who knows what's going to do with Zach Wilson. I think he's the only other active quarterback on the roster is White. So they need to hurry up and bring a guy in. Who knows what the knee is? Maybe they put him on short.
They're 1-5 team.
On IR.
I'm sure they'll figure out who the backup is this week. But not exactly a pressing matter.
But I'm not, if you're a Jet fan, you're not getting excited for Mike White is my point.
Anybody.
It's not going to happen.
Literally anybody at that point.
So when White went into the game yesterday, you know, I was watching the game and sitting next to Louth, and he's saying like,
Sports Sponge.
Every time Zach Wilson has the ball, it's a fire drill. Like the Jets offense is, you know, it's like he's getting flushed out of the pocket. He's doing shovel passes. Everything is hair on fire. He said, I wonder if, like the Patriots, if there's any way, A, to game plan for that, and B, if things were going to be thrown off a bit when they got a guy in there. It's like, okay,
hey,
I'm only going to run about four plays here, but it's going to be structured and it's not going to be craziness. And they did go down the field with White there on that first drive. Now, they don't have enough to, you know, really be a threat, and he is not some otherworldly talent that was going to, like, turn things around for the Jets at that point of the game. But, Zoe, I think you're right. It did look different. Beetle, like you said, it's like all of a sudden they had a little bit of, like, structure to it. They didn't do much.
It's like we talked about.
But it did look different.
That's like we talked about at the beginning of the year. If Cam made the football team, you're going to have two different offenses. Like, whatever benefited him to whatever would benefit Mac eventually when he took over. And that's what happens there is he goes in. Now all of a sudden, okay, what do you feel comfortable with? Here's my 10 plays. And here's what I'm used to because he's not used to any game plan. He didn't get any reps throughout the course of the week. That's really not what you want moving forward, but it is somewhat more structured than what they ran with Zach Wilson. But part of why you take Zach Wilson number two out of BYU is because of that flair, because of his ability to extend plays. And you sort of got to live with that. If that's the style you want to bring in, and that's what you want to build your team around, because like some of the stuff we looked at last week, especially with the Bellastrator, were four broken plays where he flicked the ball over 60 yards. Because to what Beetle said, you have good perimeter people. You have guys that can see that and then break loose. Unlike our guy when we scramble and N'Keal Harry doesn't recognize it and try to help him out, and Mac Jones has to take off running. That's different. That's the difference there. You know, the ability to get the game, to understand it. So, a lot of N'Keal Harry yesterday. That'd get you excited. Plus, he had that big catch from Brian Hoyer. Yep. Big day for Brandon Bolden yesterday. Beetle.
Big.
It's a big day for you, man. All your guys.
Why did you have to bring up N'Keal Harry?
No, I'm just...
For what point? What was the point of that?
The scramble drill. Like, the Jets understand the scramble drill. Mac Jones got flushed out yesterday. N'Keal Harry really didn't even recognize it. He just continued on his route instead of trying to come back and help the quarterback out. You know, when Mac got flushed out to the right, picked up the first down.
Because he's not good.
Mm-hmm. Keep putting him out there, though.
Brandon Bolden did have a good game.
He had a good game.
There's no way around
really
that.
He did.
Credit where credit is due. He did. And Ramondre Stevenson was inactive, and nobody was happy to see that yesterday. But Brandon Bolden, outside of maybe, was it a 3rd and 1? Did they run him on? What was the play they ran him on? It was 3rd and short, wasn't
it? It's always
it?
3rd and short, isn't it?
Oh, though. Well, he had two plays where they ran Brandon Bolden yesterday, right?
I'll find it.
I think he had two carries for 0 yards.
It was in the first half. It didn't matter because the Patriots scored on every drive of their first half. Mm-hmm. You know, they 4 touchdowns and a field goal before halftime. But they did run him on, what down did they run him on? No, it wasn't a 3rd down play. It was a 2nd down play. I got to look it up.
Well, they're getting him ready to be your number. He's your 3rd down back.
Yeah.
Just get ready for that moving forward here. With a little dose of J.J. Taylor.
Brandon Bolden, 2 carries, 0 yards.
Yeah. Which play did he run it on?
I don't know.
I have it right here. It was a 2nd and 10. It wasn't a 3rd down.
Look, he was their best receiver yesterday.
That's not true. Their best receiver?
Brandon Bolden?
He had 5 catches, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
that's not
like truly the passing game.
No.
I mean, no, Kendrick Bourne was their best receiver yesterday, and Kendrick Bourne continues to grow within this offense.
6 catches for 79 yards and the touchdown.
Yeah, but that doesn't. What does that mean, though?
It means that he had the most productive day as a receiver.
Yeah,
yesterday.
But that doesn't make him their best receiver from a talent perspective.
We're going to forget about this guy.
We're talking about the screen game. We're talking about catching things out of the backfield. What are we talking about?
Well, if you want to call it a glorified run game, that's different. But in terms of effectiveness and actual results, Brandon Bolden was the guy yesterday.
That's what happens when you have a pea shooter, right? Like Rex said.
Stop it. In fact, I've got something on that.
All right.
Their best receiver yesterday was Kendrick Bourne. He's going to continue to be their best receiver because he's the guy with actual speed.
Well, he is your best
quickness
receiver.
Yeah. And can get open. He's maybe the one guy they have that can consistently do that, and I'm glad that he played more yesterday. They didn't stash him until the second half. So Kendrick Bourne was a part of things yesterday for the Patriots. He was their best receiver on the field.
Yeah,
not Brandon Bolden.
Brandon Bolden was their most effective, productive receiver yesterday.
Yeah. He put up the best stats. That doesn't make you the
best.
For
that day, yeah. Yeah.
For yesterday.
Doesn't make you the best. Not even within the game.
I'm the best.
Let's talk about Mac
Scoreboard.
Jones throwing the ball down the field yesterday. How long were some of his attempts? Talk about that. And, of course, everything that you thought of watching that game yesterday. Patriots get a big win. It is a good win against a bad team. That's what that is. That can happen. You saw that yesterday. You can't convince me otherwise. 617-779-0985. A lot to get to here on this Monday on Zolak and Bertrand.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Zone Beetle.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone.
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now Max working out of the gun. It's third and a short five, long four. Myers to the left along with Bourne, Henry, and Harry to the right. Bolden to the left of Jones. Play clock down to two. Shotgun snap is back. Five-man rush. Loading up. Throwing long. Left for Bourne. Has a step. Has the catch. Tackled at the goal line. The ball squirts free. He'll be ruled down at the half-yard line. It is first and goal to go.
Oh, what a throw. I love it because he communicates with Brandon Bolden, who gets a great chip with Isaiah Wynn on the left side. Wynn does a good job blocking, and it allows him to set his feet and just drop it in the bucket. Bourne goes vertical right down that left sideline.
Mac Jones yesterday, 24 of 36 on the day. His first 300-yard passing game in the NFL with 307. Two touchdowns. He did not throw a pick yesterday. And he attempted and made five throws of over 20 yards in the game.
That's almost like your perfect day for him for a statistical standpoint as to how do you want to manage a game, how do you want the game to go, how do you want it to operate. You really don't want that rookie throwing the ball 55 times a game.
He made another throw that was just shy of 20 yards at about 19 yards. The bad news is most of them were incompletions. The good news is he did complete a pass, a deep pass down the left sideline that was, you know, ball in the air type of throw.
Yeah, and Myers had a shot at his too. I mean, it wasn't like that. Those were awful misses.
And so this is a sort of a stark contrast to some of the other games that Mac Jones has played this year.
Right.
You go back to the Buccaneers game, for example. He threw one pass over 20 yards. It was picked off. And so there's a difference. I think there is some growth here. There is a change in attitude here. And there is a marked change from where we were a week ago with this team against Dallas when they were very, very afraid to go for it. Afraid to go for it all the time. Punt it away, take a knee before the half. Yesterday before the half, they had the ball with a 1:55 to go at their own 28-yard line. You know what they did? 11 plays, 72 yards in under a minute and a half, and they scored another touchdown to make it 31-7. Where was that a week ago? Where was that with a minute and a half on the clock at the end of the half against a team that you know is much better than you?
I get it.
and you had a small little lead.
Yeah.
Small little lead, and you wanted to do everything you could to cling to that because you were doing nothing other than managing your failures. And you lost at the end of the day.
Yep. Yep. And maybe they learned from that. Maybe they learned from that. I think the two situations are completely different. You know, one team's different than the other. The offensive line looked pretty good yesterday because you were dealing with two awful series prior to that last week, which didn't really make you feel good about, let's put the kid in the gun, let's let him throw.
Oh, well, nothing makes an offense feel better than your coach telling you to take a knee with a minute 40 to go or a minute 30 to go in the half. That is how you breed confidence, guys, when your coach tells you to start taking knees.
Yeah, you might as well not defer.
What's the point?
Right. But the biggest point was prior to that, he handled. It really wasn't about him. So it's about the offensive line and everybody else. He had three situations like that where he drove the team down for field goals, 3-for-3, with 2 minutes or less left in the half. So it wasn't like, okay, he hasn't done this before. We can't do that. He can't run 2 minutes. I think he's pretty damn good in 2 minutes. I think he's pretty good in hurry up. Like, it's on, you're on attack mode. He operates fast. Like, that touchdown call there, the impressive thing there, he saw what was coming. He gave Brandon Bolden the look, sort of reset him to make sure he was helping win out over there to square him up on his guy. So the whole process of it, more importantly than the throw, got him to the throw. And that's where you could really see the development with him. And it's getting there, if you're not there already. But now you start adding the longer stuff downfield. Now, okay, we got confidence. He's got confidence that he could block it up. He's good when he sets his feet. He's really good when he sets his feet. Accurate. So keep adding his stuff. And I think Bourne and those guys will get better with that. The more you feed those guys and give them confidence that they can do it, like you listened to Bourne post-game last week, and we're learning here. Like, everything's still new to him. So he's waiting to be fed those type of balls.
Well, I think that he's going to be their best receiver. He's going to be the best guy by the end of the season.
I think he is.
And he was their best receiver yesterday.
No, it was actually Brandon Bolden.
But
yesterday.
It wasn't.
Look, Beetle, you don't have an accurate idea of what went on there. You were very injured with your bum ankle, so you're kind of spacey. You're all hopped up on Advil.
I don't understand how Bourne catches four of the four balls thrown his way and is an actual receiver.
Would you blow your ankle?
Bolden. Yeah. Mark is in Medford. Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, it's up there.
Listen, this Patriots team to drop 54 points on this Jets team, the only thing that shows me is that this Jets team is really, really, really bad.
I mean,
seriously, I think the Everett High School would have dropped 54 points on the Jets yesterday.
Well, they beat the Titans, and the Titans throttled Kansas City. So it's a weird league right now, man. It's a weird week.
But no, I think, no offense to you, though, please, so don't take this that way, but I think you could have came out of retirement.
No, I could have.
You dropped 54 on the Jets.
That'd be about 33.
I was going to say 35.
33, 35 is more ballpark. I would throw the ball deeper a lot more. I mean, I might get in trouble, but I would throw a lot more deep ones.
That was a nice moment in the stadium when they pointed out when Mac Jones had surpassed certain quarterbacks in Patriots
history. Is that a
history.
Shot?
It felt shot-ish.
It felt shot-ish.
Has the screen grab been
really
tweeted
a marquee
out?
Moment?
Do we have that photo out there anywhere on our socials?
Does Music Boy control that or something?
I'm just wondering why no one else has dropped 54 on the Jets. I mean... Yeah. If you feel that way, why has no one else put that many points on them? You want the points the Jets have given up week to week? Week one against the Panthers, they gave up 19 points. They gave up 25 to the Patriots in their New England win in week two.
The field goal kicking Sunday.
They gave up 26 points to the Broncos at Denver. Denver was home in that one. They gave up 24 to the Titans, a game the Jets won. And then they lost 27-20 to the Falcons. So they gave up 27 in that one. They haven't given up 54 to anybody. So don't tell me that Everett High School or Scott Zolak
uneducated
or anyone else is dropping 54 on the Jets yesterday.
Yeah.
Because there was only one team that has done that this year. It was the New England Patriots yesterday. They came out ready to play. It looked like they had some sort of fire coming out of the gate yesterday. They took care of business.
You talked about
that was the way that was what they should have done the first time they played the Jets in week two, but they were incapable of it.
But I don't think they knew what kind of team they were yet. We talked about them not playing down to or up to their competition yesterday. I think of course, their best complete game so far this year, but it was the first time they looked like they were kind of playing as their own team, almost independent of who the opponent was. obviously you're going to game plan for certain things offensively and defensively, but they weren't playing reactionary football. They were going out there and like, no, this is what we do. That was the first time we saw that yesterday.
They played
7 games into the season, which I don't think is all that long of a time with a new quarterback and new tight ends and new personnel. So, but yesterday they looked like their own team.
It's their first really, really clean game. I call that a clean game. You know, all three phases. You know, you don't sit there like, oh my God, was that an egregious mistake? Now you give up a player and get beat here and there, but that's competition. They're going to make plays too. But, you know, they sort of, I don't want to say corrected, because, you know, you got to do this for a stretch now. You just can't do it for one game and go back to what ails you on, like silly substitutions or dumb penalties. You know, or block kicks.
Right.
You know?
But
get back to basics a little bit.
Well, none of that happened yesterday.
Right.
Right?
No, I said that was our cleanest game of the year.
Yeah.
That was our best game.
But in terms of the after effect, is a chance now this week to get back to .500.
Do you see the rest of the league? Do you see the rest of the AFC and where it's stacked up? Like, nobody's running away with this thing. It's crazy.
I don't know. There's a bunch of teams that are 5-2, so I would say that they're all in a pretty good position.
But I mean, everybody, you know, you sitting there 2-4, you think, okay, season's over. You're not going to playoffs. Like
you say, it's a weird year. It's not a weird year from a standings perspective.
No, but I mean, from a team flip, like the Kansas City sitting there 3-4.
You're just seeing new teams again that are
leading
their divisions, and teams that have been bad be good again.
Yeah. Cincinnati went into Baltimore and won. Like that's a good win for them.
I don't think it's that weird of a year. I mean, what's truly been weird in the NFL so far this season? There's one thing I can think of, and that is the Chiefs being as bad as they are.
Nobody really talking about it.
One thing. That's really weird. That's a weird thing.
It's like, it seems like the Nationals and you know, all the pundits don't know what to say about the Chiefs, because here we are on a Monday not saying how great Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are. Like, what do we do? Maybe we just won't talk about it. We'll talk about everybody else. It's just like when the Chiefs are jamming and rolling, like they're the story. Now they're like, well, they're not very good right now, so let's not talk about them. Mahomes is having issues. He's having issues. Never thought I'd see it like that. But they'll be all right. I think they'll figure things out.
As far as confidence goes and morale for the Patriots goes, they've got to have a boatload of it today. It's just got to feel great to beat up on a team like that.
I thought Bill was good in his post game when he was asked a question about, you know, hey, this type of win give you some confidence moving forward here. Again, he goes, I don't think we lack confidence. Like the confidence, he's right. Confidence isn't the problem. It's situationally we need to be better. And maybe it's talking about himself too. You know, like maybe we go for it now all the time.
Morale, different thing. How's everybody feeling?
Good.
Not a matter of lacking confidence, but how are you feeling after that?
They were like pinballs coming out of that post game. They couldn't wait to get to the podium. Like boom, 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 one after the other. Everybody's smiling. Let's get out of here. Let's go have a beer. You know? Yeah, that helps.
And Bill is cracking beers in the Optum Club, I heard, after the game yesterday.
Hanging out with Matty P down there. Yeah.
Bud Heavies?
Do you think? Well, no, they have a lot of new additions to the booze carts down there. Like the beers. They're doing like craft beer specials and. You know, you see a lot of seltzers in that now.
Yeah, Matt Patricia don't drink those, though. He's a Bud Heavy.
Twisted
guy.
Teasy.
Take that Bud Light, send it back, and just give me the real Bud. You know, that's what he's saying. Give me the good stuff. Give me a Heineken.
Bud Light Platinum.
Bud Light with lime. Give me the artificial lime flavoring.
Only the best for him.
Oh, that'll give me a good heartburn.
Take a Zima, please.
Miller High Life. Champagne of beer.
You laugh at Zima. It wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. It tasted like you were drinking a Fresca, a little alcohol in it. It wasn't bad.
Scott Zolak likes Zima.
Wouldn't be seen with one, but quietly drink one privately
in the confines of my own
ice first game
at home.
That's pretty good.
In the privacy of my own home, I'd like to enjoy a Zima too.
Why do I get the feeling you do a lot of home alone drinking anyway? Even if it's not Zima, you're enjoying a quiet malt beverage or any other number of beverages quietly.
Smirnoff Ice.
Alone. Without prying eyes.
Yeah.
All right. X's and Zoes is coming up next. Read and react next hour. And your phone call is 617-779-0985. Red Sox season came to an end over the weekend as well. We're going to get to that. So we'll do that coming up. After X's and Zoes, that's on the way next.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you have a lot of thoughts while the game was going on?
If they came out in quarters coverage...
You're going to bring him inside? You're going to put him in motion?
Either or.
He doesn't like pulling the trigger on the zero blitz.
I call 52 stack Mike, and we got a weak side blitz coming on, and we're in cover four. Bring him down, stick it inside, get to the backer, return out, and bang it on him. Low.
That would work.
If I tell your ass to be in cover four, your ass better be in cover four. Flex him out. He could catch the ball. He's a screen guy. You're going to need guys that could pull, that can trap.
They could play a cover three and show quarters.
Where are you getting all this football jargon?
X's and Zoes is brought to you by Premier Mortgage Lending. They're hiring loan officers. Join a highly lucrative industry that is continuously growing and be part of the best team in the business at PML. Plus, they'll help you work through the process to obtain your license. For more info, email Laura M. at PMLHomeLoans.com. MB number 1562647. We start X's and Zoes with some breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zoe mentioned off the top today that the Patriots have issues at corner. Those issues just got more complicated.
Ian Rappaport, cornerback Jonathan Jones, who went on injured reserve last week, is set for shoulder surgery today. Out for the season.
Oh, wow.
As Ian Rappaport adds at the end of that tweet, a tough reality for New England's secondary.
Extremely tough. Because you have issues right now with Jalen Mills. You know, J.C. Jackson is what he is. You know, he's fighting to be a number one. You know, I don't just want to put him there as a number one with it. You know, when I say number one, a guy's going to get paid $16 million a year. Like, that's being a number one corner. You know, Jalen Ramsey type. You know, lockdown cover guy. He was able to thrive because of, you know, Stephon Gilmore being there. That Gilmore move, too, now is, not to say your defense is going to be a ton better, but I think it would be. I think it would be with Gilmore here. That's an obvious statement now with Jones being out for the year. But now you've got sort of two pseudo special teamers as your nickel guy. I mean, there aren't a lot of good corners sitting out there in the market right now. Unless you make a trade. And he's done it before with Aqib Talib. He went and made that move midseason to go get Aqib when he knew he needed it. That's a tough loss. That's a tough loss for his team. Jones is a good player. That's worth breaking news. Yes. Worthy of it. Much.
All right. Going back to X's and Zoes, what do you have?
First thing I saw right away, you know, what frustrates me the most with this team defensively? It's substitutions, right? You hear me call the game like, here we go, another five guys in, another six guys out. Lack of rhythm up front. The fact that they went with these three big guys to start the game was Carl Davis on the nose. It was Barnmore and Lawrence guy. I think those are your three best big down guys. So right away you said, we're going to control the middle gaps and we're going to control the line of scrimmage. And he left those guys in there to get it going. I thought the defense was ready to go from the get-go, just like that. I just like that. I like those three guys. I'm old school. I like the old 3-4, big three down, and then you mix and match your backers in there. You know, with Hightower being down and Bentley, you know, truly being your middle guy now. You know, not a lot of Jamie Collins early in this game. But what you did is you stuck with those three bigs. I like that. I like that. I think that's sort of your base when you start games now. Then you figure everything else out. You could go three big safeties. You know, McCourty's out in that game, too. So you're juggling and managing personnel. And not to say that having guys out, it hurts you. It obviously does hurt you. You know, having a guy like McCourty and having a guy like Hightower out. More so McCourty, because he's really your play caller back there in your last line of defense to where he polices everything. He allows Adrian Phillips, one of your best tackling safeties on the team, to be up there in the box. That forced Phillips to be back. So he replaced McCourty. Now, all of a sudden, you're a little light in that front end. So you counter that with the three bigs. I like the fact they went with those three guys. I think they're your three most nasty guys up there. It's not Godchild. It's those three. You know why? Excuse me. It's Guy, it's Barmore, and it's Davis. Those are three big bodies to block in there. And Barmore plays a little anger. I like that guy. Just continues to keep growing. So I like the three base down right there. I'm old school, like I said. 3-4. Base 3-4.
So I heard you defense. Say I heard you say that at the end of the game, and I also remember you talking about earlier in the season, like how the constant just revolving door. Like,
oh, we got to match what they have. Oh, my God, if we don't match what they have, we're screwed. Put the guys in there. Let them go play.
Right.
You know, let Barnmore get a couple series under his belt. You know, it's like Belichick's been part of those big, giant defenses in the past. I know the game has changed. I know the rules have changed and all that. I get all that. But there's something to be said for playing and getting in a rhythm. It really is.
Yeah, which has been like sort of eliminated across the league. The league has gone this way.
Having those guys out almost made you do this. And that's not going to help you moving forward, but it's sort of like,
well, you
like what we talked about with the Jets backup quarterback.
But it can help you with getting the right personnel on the field if there's less personnel to be moving in and on
we're
and
limited,
off the field.
We're limited. Here's our core base. This is what we're starting with. Now, we'll adapt and change as we go and figure out what the Jets are doing. But it's like what we talked about with you and Hardy, you know, with the backup quarterback in. You take crazy drill out of the game. It forces you to be more structured, more base. That sort of benefited them yesterday against a lesser team. That was good.
The Jets do stink, though. Make no mistake about it. I'm not going to tell you that they're a good
team. They stink, but they do have good players.
They've got some talent there. They've got some individuals on the team that I would love to pluck.
They got four guys on our defense that said, I'd like to have them right now. We just said we'd exchange the receivers.
Swap them. All of it. What's their deal?
Ineptitude.
Is the deal with that? I mean,
was the head coach ready to go in that game, or was he too busy running stairs?
Well,
Hayes in the barn, though. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to sit there and stare at a program in a locker room?
Do you think he's a bad coach because he was running stairs?
No, I don't. I don't. Right, it's just like, I don't know. Just like their whole operation and the way everything's going. You know,
that's like saying, oh, yeah, was he too busy being on a treadmill in the morning or ready to coach? Like, you know.
You're not punching walls?
Is the hard-o move of running the stairs before the game magnified by doing it in the opposing stadium?
No, because a lot of coaches in the league do that.
A lot do that. A lot of Patriots did that. Hard-o move number
Watch
one
Watch during
for me.
Training camp. You get to training camp early in the morning. The Patriots coaches are either running stairs or the ramps.
Yeah.
They do the ramps.
Hard-o move
That's
number one.
That's at-home training camp. I'm saying is the hard-o move of running the stairs before a game.
What's the diff?
On the road in someone else's stadium?
It's not like the stadium's cool. Open to the public yet.
I think it's cool because you get out there and it's something different than what you know. Like you're on the road. Okay, I'm going to get out there, relax my mind a little bit. Go run the stairs. Different venue.
So we'll tell you, have Patriots coaches been running stairs at opposing stadiums as you travel?
Yeah.
Who?
Not right now, but in the past, like it was always Chad O'Shea, Flores, and Brendan Daly. Three, they would run up at the run in tandem. Here's hard on move number one, and it will never be passed. The biggest hard on move number one is coach walking and jogging the laps around the field with the headphones on, the Bose headphones, getting his sweat on because. You didn't stay at a hotel that one of the nicest hotels, right? Because they stayed on town Providence. So they're down there at the Omni or the Westin. So they didn't have a treadmill. They don't have a treadmill where you can get up at 6 and get your, you know, log your runs. Like, you know, I got to do my 12 laps around the field.
Well,
I have more respect
difference?
For the guys that go run because it's stairs.
Because stairs
harder.
Hard to simulate.
That's a
stairs.
Bitch, man. So I'm going to go because everybody's out there and I got my flex on. I'm fast.
You don't have a stairwell in the hotel?
Walking. Fast walking. That's true. No, but I'm going to fast walk. Yeah. I get a little more respect for that. You want to be seen more on the field. It's more hard to move there. It's like when Vrabel came out, was doing push-ups on the sideline. Really, you can't do those in the head coach's locker room?
Now that's a hard one. Everyone agrees with that.
Then you're going to do the drop back, you're playing toss, you know, just getting your sweat on. I get it all. You got your process, you got your game day stuff and all that. But the strength coach hard to move, just, you know, walking the laps, getting a sweat on, speed walking. But can't talk to anybody because you got your pump-up music going. Because you're going to have so many plays in the game today.
Coming up next, we're giving away a $100 No Bull gift card.
Ooh.
We'll give that away for you next and also touch on the end of the Red Sox season, which happened on Friday night. It's been a few days now, but we'll get to that coming up next.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bogaerts, the 0-1, and this is lifted in the left field. It backs up Brantley. He makes the catch, and the Houston Astros are headed to the World Series. Your 2021 American League champions, the Houston Astros. A mob scene to the left of the pitcher's mound as the Astros win, shutting out the Red Sox 5-0.
Yeah, I know it's stupid, but I just gotta see it for myself. I'm in the corner, why do you kiss her? Oh, oh, oh.
This is sad dancing on my own, not remixed. This is what they play in the offseason.
It's like the Bruins.
Off-season
like
Red Sox.
They certainly are dancing on their own.
Well, that ended quick.
By themselves in the corner.
Is this our offseason
the,
song?
Yeah, the Astros put them in the corner.
What a turn from a Monday ago. One Monday ago.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a $100 No Bull gift card. The training gear that Mac Jones wears. No Bull, a brand for those who work hard and don't make excuses. Call the contest line, please. The correct number to give yourself a chance to win and be caller 10. 617-931-0985. Friday night did not go well for the Red Sox. Their offensive woes continued, and they continued to not be able to hit the baseball. And therefore, they lost the game, as they had done in the previous two games. Yikes. What a horrible ending to that.
How can it turn that quick, though? I mean, you said it, too. Like, don't let these bats wake up. Like, they can score. I'm like, oh, they can't score runs. I felt it was over a week ago.
But both things happened. The Astros started scoring runs, and the Reds. And by the way, it's not like the Astros were beating the bag out of the Red Sox on Friday night. They held them in check. They could not. They could not score runs. And that's the biggest reason why they lost the series. The other reason is their manager wasn't good at the end. I don't think that's why they lost. I just think that we should take stock of that.
Yeah.
Take note of it. File that one away.
Something to watch.
That when Alex Cora made questionable decisions in 2018, everything just seemed to work anyway. This time around, the questionable decisions burned them. They did. They burned him. And that included making some weird decisions in game six the other night. Danny Santana coming into the game when he did that make any sense whatsoever? Does anyone want to explain that to me? Why they pinch hit him when they did?
They were trying to make sense of it on the broadcast. I was listening. I never quite got convinced that that was the right move.
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't at all the right move. I mean, they might as well have brought Vasquez in and let him hit. So, that's just a sort of a side thing. It's worth discussing. It's worth noting. It's worth bringing back up again next season when Alex Cora is again managing the team. But he did not have a good postseason. And if the Red Sox were still hitting the ball and the series went deeper than maybe it should have, then it may have been the reason why they ended up, you know, ultimately losing a series, but it didn't. Alex Cora's mismanagement was not the thing that sunk the team.
Went down scoring zero runs.
Yeah, you couldn't score any runs.
I hear people bitching, too, and saying, well, you got unlucky there because if that ball's hit differently, just to the inside of where, right in front of the bullpen, where you saw, you know, the Astros bullpen, you know, 5 feet to the left, all of a sudden that's either a home run or it's going off the wall. Like, you play in a ballpark, too, that has all these different little wrinkles in it. So now all of a sudden you're going to sit there and say, well, it's because he played there. I heard people bitching about that. No, you got beat.
You know what I thought was a little cheap post-game? And this coming from someone who I really, really like on this team, Nathan Eovaldi, among others, is sort of the team is now saying no one expected us to get here? Well, you're right. Not a lot of people did expect you to get there, but
rightfully
you
so.
Guys were the ones telling everybody all year that you expected to be in this spot. So that's not for you to say now. That's for everyone else to say. That's for fans to say. That's for us to say, not you. I thought that was a little cheesy. Well, you know, no one expected us to be here.
But that starts up top, and I think that that emits from Cora. What? Like, I
thought you guys did expect to be here. I thought that's what you've been telling everybody all year long. I thought that's what the thing you were mad about, that people didn't believe in you and the media didn't believe in you, and we remember your tweets. Blah. Then you get to the end, and you blow the series. You're up 2-1 and in control of the series.
Boy,
you blow it, and now it's nobody expected us to be here? I thought that was weak sauce. Cut that out. But the truth is, I didn't expect him to be here. I thought it was a
so then
on
he's
the
right.
whole. The end was no. He's not right.
But it's a timing perspective.
I just explained
them,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's their last month. That's how the last month has gone. Like they felt like they were kicked to the curb, and like no one gave us a chance because they're living in the now. This has nothing to do like the whole year. Like that, I think people are expecting them to be there and in the playoffs and make a move at the trade deadline and be a better team in the second half, which they weren't.
They were competitive in the ALCS. They were, even though they got beat badly at the end. And I think that the way this feels as bad as it does, this is why I was saying prior to game six, even if they lose in seven, it'll feel a lot better. It'll feel a lot better had they won game six and got to a game seven and lost.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't feel good how they went down at the end. Mm.
No, it doesn't feel good the way the bats went cold and they couldn't score any runs. But the notion that no one expected or people said, it ebbs and flows throughout the season. At the beginning, yeah, that people thought they stunk. And then they were really good in people. But overall, when you look at it from like the perspective of a team that's won the World Series four times now in this century, a team at a big baseball market that spends all this money year after year on their payroll, there is kind of a general expectation that you will be in the mix. Maybe not.
I think that's problematic, though.
Maybe not ALCS every year, but I also think it's disingenuous for them to like try and like wear this underdog badge of like,
yeah,
no one thought we could do it. No,
the payroll's not 66
on the
million.
Whole, on the whole, people think and expect you to be there. This is the problem you've created for yourself by winning so many times in 04 and again in 7 and 13 and 18. Now, that this is what you've become.
Even
a team that is in the mix all the time.
Even at their very best, though, I didn't think they'd be in this position. Even when they were flying high, going into the middle of, you know, going to the start of July when they had that lead in the AL East, I did not have an expectation that they'd be in the ALCS and competing with the Astros. I didn't think that was going to be the case. So I think the end result, hey, we got to the ALCS and we went six games. It was a good year.
Yes.
That was a really good year.
Absolutely.
And the thing I love about it is there's now pressure on Heim Bloom and Red Sox ownership and everybody over there. Well, now you got to get back there next year. You have to do a minimum of the same thing, don't you? Isn't that everything in sports? You got to replicate what you did at least a year ago. Well,
Tyler said that last week.
If it's short of a title, you got to do at least that next year or else you're a failure.
That's what Tyler said last week, even before the results happened. He said, hey, wait till the offseason where Bloom's going to be cooking here.
It ups the ante. Sure it ups does. The ante and puts pressure on Heim Bloom to have a big offseason.
2022 is World Series or bust. You're chasing that ring.
Can I tell you the first guy I want traded this year?
Hunter Renfroe?
Bingo. Nailed it. We did not discuss that prior to this.
That was quick.
I want
that.
Him traced. He's cost-controlled.
I got killed for that. I said it on Twitter yesterday.
You're killed? Why?
I think you just sell high on him now.
Bingo.
You're going to get something really good back. You have pieces. I think the market itself, there's guys like Mark Canna. You're going to have to make decisions. Get someone to play first base and maybe move them off once Tristan Casas is ready.
This is one of the biggest problems with Heim Bloom's year. He had a good year. Thank you, Heim Bloom. He had a good year. Credit. We didn't give him credit all the way through, but we are certainly doing it for him now. Thank you, Heim Bloom. That good, Milliken? Is that how I'm supposed to say it?
Oh, it's perfect.
The only problem, and by the way, he got the biggest impact bat of the postseason out of anyone who was acquired at the deadline. How could you deny it's Kyle true. Schwarber that? Right?
Yep.
The problem was the pieces didn't all fit exactly correctly for the team. And defensively, they stunk this year. I mean, they were not a good defensive team. But now he has an opportunity to sort of fix that and figure that out and figure out that puzzle. And I'm telling you, the first guy gone has got to be Hunter Renfroe. And I heard Jun Lee on with Gasper and with Murray this weekend. And he said there are people in the Red Sox I don't know if he said front office or organization, but I assume it's front office. He said that there are some within the organization that were surprised that they got out of Hunter Renfrow what they got out of him. Oh. That they did not have, it was not some find where they said, we're seeing the value and the talent there that others are not. They did not have the expectations for Hunter Renfrow.
Well, did you?
No, God, no, I didn't, but you know the nerds.
No.
After the fact, they say, oh, you know, of course we knew Hunter Renfrow would hit 30 home runs.
It wasn't that. It was that he was going to come here, the hit profile or the spray chart, as you like to say, Beetle,
excuse me,
fit really well here. There was a reason. He was supposed to be a platoon bat entering the year. That was the whole idea. But he played well beyond that and was about above average on both sides of the ball.
So they're like over the moon for it. Like, oh, he had a great year, which is why if they didn't expect him to do this, they should say, let's sell right now.
Yes.
Sell him high to them, put him on the market and move him. Because when it counted the most and it really mattered, that guy came up empty.
I'm not going to hold that on him because he was one of the guys who saved your season in August and September as a whole with some huge home runs to, you know, kind of keep them in it when the rest of the offense wasn't showing up. But still, Hunter Renfrow, I don't think he's going to repeat a year like this. That's just being realistic.
He also is just really annoying in the field.
I agree.
Drives you absolutely insane. And now this is the thing that you're left with as a Red Sox fan. I don't think other front offices would hold his postseason against him. And I think they could sell and get something back in return. And it will probably be a prospect because that's what Heim likes.
I'd like a young bullpen arm, a controllable bullpen arm.
Okay, controllable bullpen arm. Lord knows they need that right now. So that'd be the first guy gone for me. See ya. Let's start reconstructing the Red Sox. Offseason is here. You laugh.
No, I don't.
You play late. I mean, we're closer to the offseason now.
Now T-Bone has to find the crackling bacon sound. Like, remember Louse, awful.
Hot stove right around the corner, man. Winter meetings on the way.
Jim Louse, Little Tyke's bacon sounder from the stoves that all our daughters had.
The MLB offseason has sort of fizzled, right? It doesn't really have that kickoff.
Last 3 years have not had it.
I mean,
it
used to be a real thing.
The free agents, like,
there used to be a real rush. Let's pick this up on the other side, though. We're running late. 617-779-0985. Red Sox, their finish, their upcoming offseason. Patriots yesterday against the Jets. All of that is on the table. Hardy has our headline.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.